live in a faith world. We live in a world that's full of fear right now, but that's not who we are. I don't have a message on fear today. We spoke about fear last week. We're going to talk about faith today because we are people of faith, amen? We're reading in our SOAP readings. If you're following with us in SOAP, it is scripture, observation, application, and prayer. We've been doing that for years. We've read through the Bible. We're on our second time reading through the entire Bible. And this month, we're in the book of Romans. And we're reading the book of Romans. And, you know, there's 66 books in the Bible, but I think Romans is my favorite book. If you were to ask me, what's your favorite book of the Bible? Romans is probably my favorite book of the Bible. I think it has everything in there. Romans chapter 8 is probably my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. I could read Romans chapter 8 all day long. My faith is centered around that. I mean, I love Romans chapter 8. And how many of you have a favorite Bible verse? Like a verse that is your favorite Bible verse. My favorite Bible verse is Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he that has begun the work in you will complete it into the day of Jesus Christ. That's yours? Yeah, that's my life verse, man. I live by that verse, and I love it. And but I also love the book of John. And if a new believer were to ask me, like, how do I get started reading the Bible? Like, where do I go? I would direct you to the book of John. I would say, start there. Just start in the book of John. Because the Gospel of John is a great place to begin because it talks about the miracles of Jesus and the deity of Christ. You know, it's the fourth book of the New Testament. It was authored by the Apostle John, who was one of the 12 original apostles that Jesus picked to carry the gospel. And he was considered to be the inner circle with Christ. Peter, James, and John walked in this inner circle. He had the group of 12, but he had this inner circle that went with him everywhere. And John's gospel includes teachings about the miracles of Christ, but it emphasizes the deity of Christ. So if you have your Bible, I want you to read with me in John 20, verse 30 through 32. This kind of sums up the gospel of John. John 20 and verse 30 says, And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. John helps us to understand that who Jesus is and what this faith world is all about. The deity of Christ, the miracle working power of Jesus that our worship team was singing about today. And today I want to begin in John chapter 1, verse 4. So if you have your Bibles, I want to read this text together with you, but I'll be reading out of a New King James, but follow along with me in John chapter 1 and verse number 4. He says, in him was life. John writing, he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. Talking about John. This was the true light, this which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own did not receive him, but as many received him, he gave them the right or the power or the authority. He gave them the right, the power, the authority to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, we were not born, we were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, but of the will of, not of the will of man, but God. We have been given a gift to be called the children of God, the sons and daughters of God. And we don't base this upon our emotions. Listen, our emotions are the weakest part of us. It's not based on emotions. Our faith is central to our life. If our faith is central to our lives, we base our decisions on the Word of God and not our emotions. Fear is emotionally based. It's driven by our five senses, what we see, what we hear, what we touch. That is what fear comes out of. But we cannot allow our negative feelings, we cannot allow our emotions to be controlling our minds. Our minds have to be controlled by this faith world that you and I have been called to live in. Feelings are inconsistent. They're unreliable. Feelings are generated from the heart, and the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? You can't base what's going on in your life right now based on what you see and what you hear. You have to base your life upon the faith in God's word. God's word is greater than any opposition. Huh? We cannot base our relationship with God on some wavering feeling or emotional connection. Faith is not based on emotion. Our faith is based on evidence. We have evidence of God's word being true. We have evidence of a transformed life. When I was a kid, a youth pastor, just a young guy, we took our youth group to go to a youth conference. Bobby, what was the guy's name that did the youth conference that we took everybody in Cleveland to every year? Ron Luce. And he had this thing that he was teaching on. He said, how do you know that it is real? How do you know God is real? And the main point of his whole weekend was, you know he's real because he's changed your life. You cannot argue with a changed life. You can argue with anything you want to argue with, but when you look at a person who has faith in their life, who lives by faith, who lives and assesses everything through their faith realm and not their emotional realm, you cannot deny the existence of God. Our faith world is based on evidence. We need to have a Christian worldview. You got to settle some issues in your heart. If you're going to live in the faith realm, if you're going to live in the faith world, you have to have a biblical worldview. We're not sharing opinion based on our emotion. Our faith has evidence. Barna Research tells us that only 10% of America now has a worldview, a biblical worldview. Everybody has a worldview. But Barna says only 10% of Americans now have a biblical worldview, and that number is declining. Barna Research tells us that only 17% of Christians have a biblical worldview. Can you imagine that 17, because people don't even understand what a biblical worldview is. Barna says that a biblical worldview is formed in a child's mind before they get to the age of 13. That's why we have got to get our families living in a faith world, because this world wants to infect their minds with an opposition to faith. There's six components of a biblical worldview. Most Christians don't even know what they are, but let me tell you what they are. They're going to put them on the screen for you if you have them. Do you have those, Brandon? Okay. God is the creator of the world and rules this universe. That is the first point of a Christian biblical worldview, that God is the creator of the world and he rules this universe. That's Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in order to be a person of great faith and to live in a faith world, you have to believe God created this whole thing. Number two, the Bible is the word of God for mankind, and it's completely accurate, including matters of life and its origin. This is a biblical worldview. You have to believe that God's word for mankind is complete and accurate. If you don't believe the Bible is completely accurate, if one little line of that Bible is not true, the whole thing is not true. And people are not convinced that everything in there is true. Number three, because of God and his word, absolute moral truth exists. We as Christians have to believe that there is moral truth, that it's not based on everybody's feelings, that you can have whatever you feel like is right, that's right. Do what you want, live the way you want, that's good. Let me tell you something. God's word is contrary to that. God says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is a way of destruction. God's word is true. He said, hide the truth in your heart that you may not sin against God. I'm telling you, there are moral absolutes on this earth. Number four, Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, and he lived a sinless life. He died for our sins, was buried, and rose again from the grave 3 days later. That is a part of our biblical worldview. It's Easter. It's what we're going to celebrate in 21 days. After 21 days of communion, we're going to celebrate the risen Lord. Number five, Satan is a real being, not symbolic. You'd be surprised how many people think Satan is just a symbolic figure. He is not. He is a devil. He is a thief. And his job, his assignment is to kill, steal, and destroy. And he seeks to defeat God's plan for man. God has a plan and a purpose for every life in this room. God has a plan and a purpose for our destiny. And I'm telling you, the devil wants to destroy that. He wants to consume us with fear. He wants to consume us with lies. And we've got to stand upon God's word and know the truth. Number six, salvation is obtained solely by individual faith in Christ's work on the cross, and it cannot be earned. This forms our biblical worldview that Christ is salvation, and that it is Christ and Him alone that can bring us into a relationship. Listen, there's either a God or there's not. Huh? Jesus is either that God or He's not. The Bible is true or none of it is true. Salvation comes through Jesus and Jesus alone. And that is a biblical worldview. That is the faith world that we are called to live in. We cannot compromise any standards. We cannot be moved by our emotions or our feelings. Every person in this room and every person watching online, you need to know right now, your God has called you to live in a faith world. You're not called to, we are in this world, but not of this world. We are not to be moved by what we see, hear, smell, taste, touch. We are to be moved by the word of the living God. Amen. It's not a matter of opinion. This is not a personal preference or wishful thinking. This Christian faith is grounded in evidence and can be assessed and it can be evaluated. The Christian faith is an evidential faith. It has evidence. It's not an emotional feeling. The evidence of Christ affects my five senses. It affects the way I do life. Our faith is a gift from God. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. If we have sincere faith today, we should consider that a gift from God. We've been given the most precious gift to be called sons and daughters. We've been moved out of a dark, despair world into a world of life and hope. This means we don't make decisions based on only what we think. There's some decisions that I make that are because of my faith. My mind can't even wrap myself around it sometimes. I have to make a decision based on my faith. I had to make a decision today. Would we open up this church to people to come and sit in here? Or do I, or what? And I just said, you know what? My faith is telling me we need to have an open service. Whoever comes, comes. And we pray for the blood of Jesus to cover our lives and to watch over us and to protect us. And we pray for all those that are watching online right now. And we say, we live in a faith world. It is not a world consumed with fear. Amen. I can't, that means I can't tell you exactly how things are going to happen or when things are going to happen. I don't know how or when things are going to happen, but I've read the back of the book and I understand my end is greater than my beginning and the best is yet to come, and I'm not going down, I'm going over. I'm going to conquer, I'm going to move mountains, and I'm going to live in a faith world. I'm living in a world where we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. If you believe God, give Him a shout of praise. I can't explain to you how. I don't know how all this is going to end, but I'm telling you, this too shall pass. There are times that I have to make decisions that are counterintuitive to my emotions. If you're a person of faith, you count that as a gift. To each one is given the measure of faith. We've been given the gift of faith. If you can hear from God, you should count that as a gift from God. Hearing is one of our senses, but if you can hear from God, man, that's a great gift from heaven. Jesus said all through the book of Revelation, he said this, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. What Jesus was saying is a lot of people have hearing, but they're not hearing the voice of God. And if you can hear the voice of God, that is a gift from God. And we hear God, and we hear from God in many different ways. My daughter Riley, who's just she's 15 years old, and this week they were all praying, and they were all praying, and she heard God say to her, go to the middle of the room. and get on your knees and begin to pray. And after service was over, you guys were all praying together. And after service was over, she called Bobby and she said, Bobby saw her and her face was glowing. And Bobby said to her, something happened tonight, didn't it? She said, yes, I think I heard from God. She goes, how do I know if it was God? I've never heard God before. She's 15. How do I know if I heard God? Bobby said, what did he say to you? He said, go to the center of the room and pray. She said, that was God. That was God. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. How do you know if it's God? If you know if it's good, you know if it's perfect, you know if it's a good thing and your spirit just leaps inside you. It was the voice of God. Faith comes by hearing in Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. One of the main ways that we hear God is through his word. But we can also hear God through an internal knowing. Like sometimes it's not even emotional at all, but inside my heart I hear God and I know I've heard from God. And though everybody around you may give you a contrary opinion, you got to hold to that internal voice in your heart that tells you God is with you and he's for you. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. We hear God through circumstances. I think God's using these circumstances to open ears of many people in our world today. I think there are a whole lot of people right now who have not even heard God's voice, but are hearing a call, a beckoning call saying, hey, I am the answer. I am the way. I am the truth and the life. And when fear has consumed you, when doubt and unbelief are trying to steal your heart, if you'll just listen to that little voice that says, come here, I've got you. I've got the answers for you. I think God is speaking through an inner voice in our hearts. Anybody ever heard God through a song? Huh? Anybody ever heard God through a song? When I say, Alexa, play Matt Gilman worship, and he begins worshiping the Lord, I'm hearing from God. It may be coming through his voice, but I'm hearing from God. Speak the word into my life. God speaks to us through a song. You can hear God through others. My wife, I hear God through my wife. I hear her speak to me. I listen to her counsel. I'm applying things that she's saying into my heart. We hear God through others. I say all the time, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Why do I say that? Because if you don't have the right people around your life speaking the right things into your heart, you'll begin to hear the voices that God doesn't want you to listen to. Amen. God speaks to us through others. He said, where two or more are gathered in my name, that he would be in the midst. If you're a person of faith and you hear from God, that's a gift from God. That's precious. If you can feel God, it's a gift from God. If you can feel his presence, it's not based on goosebumps. I get goosebumps. I get glory bumps on me sometimes, but my faith is not based on my feelings. But I'm telling you, it's a good thing to feel God. It's a good thing to feel the voice of God in your heart and to know his confirmation is with you. I count it a blessing that I can feel God. There are times when I feel him at Walmart. Huh? Yeah, I'm just telling you, man. There are times I could be in a store and something happened and I just almost get to the point of tears and say, God is in this place. Why? Because wherever you go, God is with you. He'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. You can feel the voice, you can feel the presence of God wherever you're at home, when you're driving. If you can see, I'm talking about senses. If you can see spiritually, that's a gift from God. I'm not talking about seeing with your eyes. When John said Jesus was the light, that's the kind of seeing that I'm talking about. I'm talking about seeing in the spiritual realm. I'm talking about seeing with spiritual sight. The kind of sight I'm talking about doesn't come from your eyes. It comes from it being in the light. And Jesus said that John said that Jesus is the light of the world. I mean, this church, this faith world that we're in, it's all about Jesus. We sing about Jesus. We preach about Jesus. We talk about Jesus. We're a Jesus church. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a faith world. In him we live and move and have our being. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the light of the world. And when faith is central in our lives, it affects and infects everything around us. It changes every situation and every circumstance. We live in a faith world. The Bible's all about this new faith world. If you begin to read it and you look at it and you go back into Genesis and you look at it, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and darkness and void over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. He's saying there was, when the world was created, it was a different realm than when God stepped onto the scene. And God said, okay, God created all this. And he said, I'm going to change now the order, the chaos. I'm going to change the order of authority. And now I'm going to bring a new world order. John 1 parallels that book of Genesis. When you're reading John chapter 1 and you read Genesis 1, you almost see the same story. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was God, and all things were made through Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. John is teaching us about this new created world order. He's saying it's a new faith world that we're approaching and that we're living in. The Bible teaches us through Genesis about opposites. You'll see all through the Bible, there's opposites. The Bible is a book that has a lot of opposites to give us a bigger picture. Don't confuse opposites with equals. Because just because something is an opposite doesn't mean it's equal. Just because they're opposites doesn't mean that they're equal. Here's some examples. God and the devil are opposites, but they're not equal. If you get it confused, you think they're formidable enemies. That God and the devil are on the same plane, and I'm here to tell you, they are not on the same level. The devil is a defeated foe. Your Bible tells me that I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. There's not a wrestling match. Huh? Not even close. Sickness and healing are not equal. Healing is far greater than sickness. They're opposites of each other, but my God tells me in His Word, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Huh? Good and evil are opposites, but they're not equal. Good is always more powerful than evil. Light and darkness. This book is full of opposites. Light and darkness are opposites, but they're not equal. Light is always more powerful than darkness. You can't grab darkness and bring it into this room, but you can grab a light and bring it into a dark room, and it changes everything. Why? Because Jesus is the light of the world, and light is a faith world that we live in. It is a powerful, powerful force on the earth. You could turn the lights off and the darkness will come in, but the moment you bring light in, darkness has to go. They're opposites, but they are not equal. You never know how good God is until you know how bad the devil is. Huh? When you know how bad the devil is, when you see the effects of his rule and reign, then you know how good our God is, that we live in a place of faith and we live in a faith realm. You can never really appreciate prosperity unless you've been broke. I'm just telling you. There are people that grow up in wealthy families. They don't even understand what prosperity really is. It has nothing to do with money. It's a state of mind. And until you have understood what it means to try to find a quarter, we lived in a little apartment, and we didn't have a washing machine. We had to get quarters to go down to the laundromat. I know what it's like to try to find quarters in my car. Did you know if you push your back seat up and lift it up and pull it out, you can pull your seat out and you can find quarters in there? Huh? Did you know you could turn your couch upside down and find quarters in there? I know what it's like to have been broken. If you've ever been there, then you understand and know what it's like to live in the blessing of our Father, that He has provided everything that we need, and no weapon formed against us will prosper. Until you know the opposite, you don't know the power of it. I'm telling you, man, I was good at finding quarters. Huh? If you've ever been there and you're not there today, you have a whole lot to praise God for. Amen? If you've ever had the absence of something and it shows up, it gives you the power to thank God for it once it gets there. Amen. God has given us faith, and it's a new world order. In Genesis 1:3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And listen, this is a powerful thing that we just passed by so many times. It says, and God divided the light from the darkness. That word divided is a powerful word. It means to put a division, to bring a division in. God divided the light from the darkness. It means he set it apart. Listen, when God places a division between two things, it's so that you can know that they are not the same thing at a different measure. Light and darkness are not the same thing at a different measure. It's a total different realm. Light is more powerful than darkness. It's set apart. The devil is not like God. He's different. He's a different thing altogether. He is not God's equal. The devil is a created being, and anything that God created, he can manage. Come on. He's not the little God, and God's the big God. No, the devil is a defeated enemy. He's a defeated foe. He's a different thing altogether. This world, this word divided means separated, not the same. That's why when we deal with blessing and cursing, they're not the same. They're opposites, but they're not equal. The blessing is way powerful, way more powerful than the curse. And you got to remember that. This is the faith world that we live in. They're not blessing and cursing. Which one am I? You know, it's like, no. Blessing is way more powerful than cursing. And you and I have been called to live in the blessing. We are the blessed of the Lord. We are highly favored of God. We are sons and daughters. We've been given the gift of faith. And we live in a faith world. Amen. Blessing always overpowers cursing. Blessing is greater than cursing. They're opposite, but they're not equal. Huh? Good and evil. Good is always more powerful than evil. They're not equal. You can't bring darkness in this room and overpower the light. The light will always overpower the darkness. Somebody watching today needs to know that blessing is more powerful than cursing. Come on. You have to take authority over the emotion of fear. God is always greater than the devil, and the blessing is always more powerful than the curse. What is in you is greater than what's around you. I speak that over every person in this room. What is in us is greater than what's around us. When God puts division, when God puts a division, it's so that two things cannot operate in the same place at the same time. Blessing and cursing can't operate in the same place at the same time. When you are blessed, the curse cannot have power over you. When